When David told God, I want to build you a temple, a building, and God said, you've been involved in too many bloody wars. And so God said, your son will build it. And the God said, I never really wanted a temple. It wasn't anything that God had planned. You realize that David changed God's plan? Because the temple is now a pivotal part of Bible history, as we all know. But David changed all that. One man's prayer changed it. Of course, David had a special relationship with God, men after God's own heart and all that. But just an interesting thought. And then, of course, in David's lineage, Jesus Christ was born. All of us know that story, too. But I just thought it's interesting that David literally changed history. And I want to talk about a little bit about that history of the temple, the building. And I want to ask the people of Israel to build the third temple. You're probably saying, like, they're going to hear anything that I have to say. Well, you never know. This video, these sermons go up on YouTube within a few weeks at least, and on the website. And they stay there for a long, I got stuff up there for 6 or 7 years. They stay there a long time. So it's possible somebody may see it and they may hear the message. But at least we'll hear it. It'll be out there. The question is, why am I asking the Jewish people of Israel to build the third temple? We're going to see in a moment. I'm speculating here, but what I think. Let's go to the minor prophet Haggai. By the way, when they call these prophets minor, it's minor, I think, in the sense that their book was small, as opposed to the major prophets whose books were thick, you know, or a big, thick scroll. But I don't think they necessarily are minor in their importance. It's just a, you know, just kind of a technicality, but one that's probably worth mentioning. And sometimes Haggai's book is so small, it's stuck between Zephaniah and, you know, it's hard to find. But the thing about Haggai's book is it's one topic. One topic only. That prophet came to the exiles who were returning from captivity, who had, let's say, stopped building a temple or delayed. His message was, finish God's temple. Build God's temple. And I want to just talk about that a little bit. Haggai 1, verse 3. Because it's more important, and obviously God has made it important through the centuries. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Haggai 1, verse 3 through 6. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in panel houses and this temple lie in ruins? That's the question God's asking. Where are your priorities? You're worried about building your own houses, but you're unwilling to build the house of God. Or that was the second temple. Now, therefore, thus says the Eternal, the God of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. Here's one that I remember this from my youth. This particular scripture stuck in my mind years ago. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. A bag with holes. I had the experience that when I was first learning the truth, the details aren't really essential, but I kind of drifted away and decided not to be giving God's church anything. I had like 2 part-time jobs, driving a cab and working at the hospital. And I even had some ROTC money for college. I couldn't seem to save any money. It literally seemed to me like I didn't buy a whole lot of nice clothes or good cars. It's like I had a hole in my pocket. I mean, afterwards when I thought about it, I couldn't save a thing. Nothing worked. And you're going to say, but I'm just that's how I remember it, like a hole in my pocket. And then at another time, one summer, I decided to just really start tithing. I had a little pattern. I worked at a nice factory. I got off, went to my little blue Ford, went to the bank, got a money order, mailed off money to the church. That summer, everything worked. and I saved up enough money to pay my expenses for the next year in college. I was able to save money. Now, and I think I got some job blessings too. The point I want to make is the prophet is telling Judah, you're going to prosper more if you put God as a high priority. You're going to profit more if you build that second temple. I'll ask you, what do you think? What do you think? If the nation of Israel starts that second temple, will God bless them? And I realize a lot of the people over there are secular Jews. They're not interested in that sort of thing. And they're under a lot of pressure from the world, which is mad at them for even building apartment buildings in places the Palestinians don't want, no less the temple. Haggai 1, verse 8 and 9. Go up to the mountains, bring wood and building, and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house is in ruins. While every one of you runs to his own house, it's like the ruins of Jerusalem. Therefore, the heavens above you will withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruits. Let me ask the question. If you want peace and prosperity and good weather for crops, sometimes it's the opposite of what you think. Logically, you'd say, don't build a temple because you'll have trouble with your neighbors, which was true in those days too, and some of the very same neighbors as well. But I would argue better weather, better blessings, if God has put it as a high priority. And I want to say some of that could apply to America too. If we were to put God in this country as a higher priority, would our weather be better? I'm not saying our weather is all that bad, but have you noticed it rains too much in the east and they have these horrible droughts in the west? You know, all those forest fires. And I don't think it's global warming, believe me. I won't go into that now. But and other things. It's almost like when it rains too much. And when it doesn't rain, it doesn't rain. It doesn't, you know, California and a whole bunch of places out there, they've had. Was it last summer they had the longest drought in the history of California? And they're still having. And then when it does rain in California, it comes like all in 2 or 3 weeks, and then they have mountainslides where homes that are built on creeks near the ocean, the foundation washed away and they slide into the ocean or down. It's like we're not getting all of our weather blessings. That's my point. I'm not saying it's that bad yet. Because we are getting some blessings. Because my lawn looks great, but I got to cut it. But anyway, so we're getting some blessings and some. But I would say we're not getting as many blessings as we could because God is too low a priority. I'm speaking mainly of Israel, but I think it applies to America to some extent as well. Haggai 2, verse 4 and 5. Haggai 2, 4. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the eternal God, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the reason they had to be strong is all their neighbors, and you read the whole story around them, threatened them. They didn't want them to rebuild the walls, didn't want them to rebuild the temple. They did not want a Jewish state in the area, and certainly not a strong, safe one. They threaten them all the time. It's a really good story to read the whole thing in Ezra and Nehemiah. And it's also mentioned in a few other places. But so he's saying, be strong and trust God. If the nation of Israel were to build that third temple, everyone says, you're crazy. The Arabs will go ballistic. The Muslim world, it'll be, you know, that's true. It's going to take courage to do it. But God told them, the exiles, who came back in captivity, be strong, and they did it, and they were blessed. If they do it again, I believe they will be blessed. Maybe not to the very, very end. And near the very end, some things are going to go wrong, but that's another story. It depends on repentance, but they'll be blessed for a good while. I really believe that. Verse 5, according to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Don't be afraid to do it. Verse 7, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. In other words, actually, this is more prophetic to the end. The desire of all nations is the true Messiah, the true hero that the world really wants. It's really Christ. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Well, that actually happened to that temple, Jesus Christ, the desire of all nations. In other words, that second temple, which at first appeared not so grandiose compared to Solomon's temple, was actually very great because Christ preached in it. But I think there's also a parallel to the end time. Jesus Christ will come back again to that temple, and we'll see how that works out. But I believe there's a parallel till to the end time as well. And by the way, Herod expanded that temple, so that was one of the seven wonders of the world in its day. That is the second temple. So it was greater in some ways than Solomon's temple physically, but spiritually it was even greater because Christ preached there. 2:17. I struck you with blight, mildew, hail, and all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. In other words, God did things to hurt the economy and the health of the nation, but they didn't seem to take the warning. They didn't notice it. Israel's having a hard time now. I think in some ways God has given them a warning to be not so secular. If they were to put God first, take the warning. I want to apply that to America. You hear this expression, things aren't going well for America in a lot of ways. Is it because America has given God too low a priority? If we give him a higher priority, we'll get more blessings. In other words, God is warning us, but no one notices. No one takes it. Now, granted, in those days, they had a live prophet, Haggai, and some other prophets that came along in a series. But we have the written word of the prophets. There will come a live prophet, the two witnesses, in I don't know how many years, but somewhere in the near future. But I still think we should take the warnings that are in the Bible on principle, that if we want Israel blessed, if we want America blessed, take the warnings. God is telling us to give God a higher priority. Now they're actually threatening churches and they got to have a third bathroom and all kinds of weird things are going on. We pretty much push the God of the Bible out of the picture. And that's not good. If we give God, the principle is give God high priority and you'll be blessed. That obviously isn't true of America and isn't true of Israel either. But each of us individually, if we can individually put God at a high priority, we'll be blessed. Here's my corny story for the day. On the first day of spring training in baseball, professional team, a guy comes down, an agent, and he's got a horse. The coach says, "What on earth did you bring a horse to baseball spring training?" And the scout says, "You got to see this horse bet. This horse can really bet." And all the players are laughing. The coach is laughing. "Wait till you see this horse bet." He says, "Okay, let's see what happens." The horse comes to the plate, and the horse grabs the bat in his big mouth. And he's got the bat. The pitcher says, "I'll just throw a ball up in the middle of the plate." Whack! The horse hits it. It goes deep into the outfield between the center fielder and the left fielder, all the way to the wall. Wow. And everybody is shocked. The horse just stands there at home plate. The manager yells to the horse, "Run, run, run to first base or to the second base." The horse just stands there and looks at him. The scout looks back at the manager and yells, "This horse can bat. But if he can run, he'd be in the Kentucky Derby." Baseball is all he's got left. Well, I feel that corny story in there to try to make this point. We may believe as a nation that we have a lot of options, but really we only have one true option, the same with Israel. And that is, are we going to get God's blessings or are we not going to get God's blessings? Or more of God's blessings or less of God's blessings? Well, if we want more of God's blessings, We need to give God a high priority, and Israel needs to build that third temple. In the old days, people used to say, let's pray for rain in due season. You don't hear that much anymore. People don't pray for rain much anymore. Haggai 2, 23. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you a signet ring, I've chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. And Zerubbabel did great works. They responded to that warning. They did build a second temple. And Israel was blessed and became a prosperous nation in that part of the world for a number of years into the future. Actually, even had its own little kingdom for a while. And then they got incorporated into the Roman Empire, but that's another story. But they still were a prosperous part of the Roman Empire, though. Let's go to Ezra. This is where the story takes detail. Remember, this is one of, also called a minor prophet because his book is small, or some, maybe some other titles for him as well. But Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. Although he and a host of high priests were the ones who kind of ordered the Old Testament collection and made appropriate copies and preserved it. So he's more important than we might think he is, Ezra is. Ezra 3:12. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept out loud when the foundation of the second temple was laid before their eyes. Of course, many shouted with joy. Because compared to Solomon's temple, it didn't look so hot at first. But its greatness was yet to be coming, as we already mentioned. Let's look at the historical story of the exiles returning from captivity and the building of the second temple. We're going to look at Ezekiel 4:24. I mean, Ezra 4:24. It's easy to get those names mixed up. As we look at the story. And thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased. And it was discontinued to the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Their neighbors got together, and they warned the empire, which at that time was the Persian empire that was in charge of all that land, that the Jews were a threat, so they came and forced them to stop building. Then roughly 10 years later, when the prophets came and said, you should do it, they did it on their own initiative. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews which were in Judah and in Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God which was in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. In other words, on their own initiative, when the prophet said you should do it, they did it. They defied the empire. Now, the rest of the story is kind of interesting. Their enemies, of course, wrote back to the emperor, look at what those Jews are doing. We should crush them. This is terrible. Chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Then King Darius issued a decree to search, because the Jews said, well, there are records that we're allowed to do this. So he said to search the records to see what they could find, and they found in one of the minor headquarters of the Babylonian Empire, they found a scroll where Cyrus had given them permission to build the temple. As a matter of fact, it even gets worse. Not only did he give them permission, he told their neighbors in the Middle East to give them everything they needed, to get out of their way, but give them everything they needed to rebuild the temple. Verse 7 and 8, let the work of this house of God alone, in other words, don't you interfere with it, let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. Moreover, I issue a decree, now this is the emperor who had a lot of power, as to what you shall do for the elders of the Jews, for this house of God. Let the cost be paid at the king's expense from taxes on the region beyond the river. This is to be given immediately to these men so they are not hindered. In other words, the provinces, they call it beyond the Euphrates River. All those places in the Trans-Euphrates River, which included all their neighbors, all the taxes you collect, you're supposed to use that tax money to build this temple and stay out of their way, don't give any trouble. You know, their neighbors were like, you're kidding me. Not only can't we stop them, we got to finance it and help them. Oh. Okay, that's a great story. Of course, it happened and the second temple was built. Well, could that happen again? In other words, if the Jews just build the temple in spite of all the threats, and of course the Middle East will go bonkers over it, but will they be blessed politically as they were back then? Well, things have a certain pattern. I would say they'll have some trouble, but I think so. In some way, shape, or form, it could work out. It worked out then. Nobody would have predicted it. Not only did it work out, their enemies had to pay for it. They had to help them, or at least out of the tax revenue they collected from that part of the world. I'm going to jump to America for a minute. If America would have put God as a higher priority and not as we are now, you know, the way they do separation of church and state, the way they use it is to push God out. Like Martin Luther King said, the Christian church should be the moral conscience of America. Instead, it's being pushed out of the way. Otherwise, the church is nothing but a social club. Maybe that's a bit extreme, but you get the point. Christianity used to be important in America. And all you got, in case you doubt that, read the founding fathers, read people like John Adams. You're going to be shocked at how much during the constitutional debate and all those issues, they mention God and the Bible. It's all over. And good historians know that. I think even some of the scholars who push the other stuff, they know it. They just don't want America to be involved in that. You know, they want God out so they can have the kind of laissez-faire world that they want, in my opinion. I think they know better, but maybe they don't. They may have deceived themselves that the founding fathers really weren't religious, but I think they know better. Psalms 127, verse 1. I think they actually know better. Psalms 127, verse 1. This is a song of Solomon, and I assume it had great music and choir behind it. Unless the Lord shall build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. That's a great song, by the way, if you ever heard that one. It's a great song. And in other words, if you get God involved in building your nation, it'll be blessed to protect it. If God is not involved in it, like worldly socialism or something, it's not going to be a blessing. And like Venezuela, you know, they went anti-God, communism to the extreme. I just heard the other night, they now, they're having food riots and riots on grocery stores because people are starving. The army now has to guard food and toilet paper. That tells you all you need to know. It's like the Soviet Union, some of its worst moments. They have to have the army guard food and toilet paper. And maybe the people who get the food have to pledge allegiance to the Communist Party. At least that's what I heard last night. Right? So I say, boy, this... You know God isn't blessing them. That's the point I'm getting at, as they go more worldly. Let's go to Romans. For my last set of scriptures, let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 1 and 2. Romans 10, 1 and 2. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. This is Paul writing about his own people. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they're very religious and they have a zeal for God. They just don't understand certain things like they should. And God has allowed that. 11:1, Romans 11:1. I say then, has God cast away his people? And Paul says, certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. And then he talks about Elijah and others. The Jews are still special to God. And the point I want to make is, I believe if they want to get more special to God, I mean, God is going to rescue them and Christ is going to make it all work out. And they'll be probably one of the leading nations in the world, probably the financial center of the world in the future and other things. in the spiritual center. But if they want to be blessed now more than they are, I think they need to build that third temple. Romans 11, verse 12. And now, if their fall, he means away from religious knowledge, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, when it comes to the point where God's going to call all the Jews, it's going to be wonderful for the world spiritually. And I believe that to be true. Verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come, verse 26, chapter 11. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. In other words, God is going to straighten everything out in the future, come back to that third temple, and the world will know paradise. And all that's coming to the world and to the Jewish world. So one key, as we sum all this up, I think Israel will get more blessings when they build the third temple. I believe America will get more blessings if we can put God and religious freedom and churches on a higher priority. When, how, and how it's going to work out, I have no idea. We'll just have to see. And all the full blessings of all the planet is coming with the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to both the Jews and the entire world.